Continuing in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 1 reads, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord." So, you know, Paul is talking about how much he loved them in the previous chapter. And now he says, you know, when it couldn't wait any longer, we thought, well, we'll send Timothy to go on and establish and comfort, you know, that the afflictions that were coming at that time that wouldn't move anybody. You know, and I love this. We told you before when we were with you, we told you that tribulation or affliction, it's the same thing. Actually, it's the root verb of affliction in verse 3. Even as it came to pass, and you know what I mean, we were telling you, and then it started to happen. We told you there'd be affliction, and affliction started. So, verse 3, though, I almost missed this. Gosh forbid. "For yourselves know that we are appointed thereto." We are appointed to affliction. Did you see? You know why? Because, as it is written in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, he was oppressed and afflicted, speaking of Christ, yet he opened not his mouth. Meaning, Jesus opened his mouth on many occasions, right? I mean, he taught, he spoke against false things, he rebuked, exhorted, he whipped people, you know. But when it came to his own trial, and it was time to offer himself, he closed his mouth. But the point was about he was afflicted. If we are going to become like Christ, at some point, affliction is a guarantee. In fact, to me, it's like a tenet of the faith. That's part of what I believe. I don't just believe I'm going to receive righteousness. I believe I'm going to receive affliction. Otherwise, I can't appear. When Jesus appears, it says we don't know what we're going to be exactly, but we know we're going to be like him. And I know when he appears, I have to be like him. That means before he appears, I'm going to have to suffer. I accept it as a tenet of my faith. And I pray that it happen not while I still have small children, right? But if someone's going to have small children, why shouldn't it happen to me while I have small children? Well, God forbid. Lord, be merciful. But I know I am appointed to affliction. And you know what? It does not frighten me. Maybe I'm just stupid. Maybe I should be scared. Maybe I should be afraid of the afflictions to come. But no, I rejoice because I know that when it comes, I'll be ready for it. And also that it is a seal of the righteousness of God, which is being created in me through Christ Jesus. And Paul couldn't wait any longer, and he sent someone, so he wanted to know of their faith, lest by any means, you know, that something had happened, something, you know, he just said, the tempter had tempted you, or we had worked for nothing. You know, he couldn't stand not knowing. He knew they were being persecuted, and there was affliction. He's trying to know, did their faith hold up? Did they go back to idolatry? You know, when things, like, you know, Jesus talked about the parable of the sower, you know, some seeds fell on stony ground, right? Some fell on the wayside. Well, the ones that fell on the wayside, well, that was the birds. Well, the ones that fell on stony ground, they sprung up right away. But when tribulation or persecution came, they withered away. And the Thessalonians had received the word with such joy, he was afraid, well, maybe they're like, the tribulation is just going to swallow them up. Or maybe temptation has taken them. But when he came and brought the good news, oh, Paul was absolutely ecstatic. He heard of their faith and love. Faith. They were desiring greatly to see Paul. So they were comforted. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. That's an interesting thing for him to say. We live, if you stand fast in the Lord. I think he's speaking somewhat figuratively. In the sense of like, it would kill me if you didn't stand. But knowing that you stand, it's like life to me. It just, and I definitely understand the feeling. When you're alone, or people start forsaking you, it can be very troubling, very sad, big letdown. You feel alone. I think of the prophet Elijah. He said, Lord, they've killed thy prophets, they have digged down thine altars, and I'm left alone. You know, absolutely the bottom of the pit, so to speak, as far as despair, etc. And God said, oh, no, I've reserved to myself 7,000, but I'm just looking at that feeling of like being alone. So if you stand in the Lord, we will live because of that. Because we can remember Thessalonica. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Faith has to be perfected. There's things lacking sometimes, right? Maybe we don't know everything. Paul maybe hasn't informed them of everything he wants to teach them, you know, but God has all these things that he wants to teach us. And the Word is a very big book. You know, goodness, it's been, 17 years. I've been following hard after God. And